So reading today from the Bhagavatam, normally we read from the CC, but today I thought we can read from the Bhagavatam. Oh, you can keep that, that's fine. And we're reading from chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 of the Bhagavatam, second canto, is a beautiful chapter because in one sense it's the culmination of the whole Bhagavatam, you can say, because once... this is the wrong volume. That's okay, no problem. Because the whole first canto of the Bhagavatam is a preface to the entire work, because the conversation doesn't actually begin between Parikshit and Sukadev. That only begins in the first chapter. So as soon as Parikshit asks his question, what is the duty of someone who's about to die? And what is the duty of all people in all situations? Then as soon as he asks that question, then the Bhagavatam begins in the first chapter of the second canto. And by the third chapter of the second canto, Sukadev Goswami has actually given all the answers. It's like, that's it, finished. This is the culmination, because chapter 3 is entitled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. So Parikshit, his question was already answered. When he asked the question, Sukadev Goswami was so eager to reply that he started speaking without even doing a Mangalacharan. He didn't even do a Mangalacharan, he just began speaking the answers. And by the third chapter, he had already culminated everything. So Parikshit was like, I got another 7 days to live here, you know. Quick, ask some more questions. So then Parikshit started asking more questions and the rest of the Bhagavatam unfolded. But in one sense, we can say the culmination comes right here. So today we're reading from one of these very beautiful verses of the third chapter of the second canto. And it's a very, very beautiful verse. Prabhupada quoted this verse many, many times. And it's talking about time. Sometimes it's good to just sit back and think about how time is passing. Somehow this week, the devotees organized for me to go back to my old university. So I had not been there for like 24 years, UCL, the original atheistic university. After Oxford and Cambridge. So I went to UCL. They call UCL the Godless Institution on Gower Street. That's what they call it. So I went there. The devotees had organized a program. The monk who studied at UCL. Unfortunately, it wasn't the monk who sold his Ferrari, because I never had one of them. I had a Nissan Micra. But if it would have been the monk who sold his Nissan Micra, it would be no wonder he became a monk. So, but it was very interesting. I went back to UCL, and I don't know how many of you know UCL, but it has a quad. So I was sitting in a bench, and it was very, like, it was one of those very contemplative moments, because I used to sit there 25 years ago as a student, and I was sitting right there in the same place, and I was thinking, like, oh my God, like 25 years of my life have gone. Where was I? Where am I now? What were my hopes, my dreams, my desires then? And how does that translate into where I am now? So it's a very reflective moment of how time just passes. And I recommend everyone to do that, actually. If you can, in the next few weeks, go back to one of your places from the past. Maybe your old school, or the place, the park where you used to play football, or your old neighborhood, and just be there and see how life is passing and see how time is going and see how what is actually happening to us internally. Are we changing? So I was very much thinking about time this week, and therefore this verse came to my mind. So you'll see why. So you can repeat after me. Ayur harati vai pumsham Udyanashtam chayanasho Dashyarte yakshano nita Uttamashloka vartaya Ayur harati vai pumsham Udyanashtam chayanasho Dasharte Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya Ayur Harati Vai Pumsha Udyanashtam Chayanasho Dasharte Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Ayu, duration of life. Harati, decreases. Vei, certainly. Pumsham, of the people. Udyan, rising. Astam, setting. Cha, also. Yan, moving. Aso, the sun. Dasya, of one who glorifies the Lord. Rite, accept. Yat, by whom. Kshana, time. Nita, utilized. Uttama Shloka, the all good personality of Godhead. Vartaya, in the topics of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Both by the rising and by the setting, the sun decreases the duration of the life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Purport. I'm going to read the first paragraph. There's two paragraphs. I'm going to read the first one because it specifically relates, and then later on we will come back according to time. Purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man, so the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words: endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts, this realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Sukadev Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. Srila Prabhupada ki. Every day the sun is rising and the sun is setting. Bhagavatam is telling us that when the sun rises and the sun sets, we should understand life is passing us by. Life imperceptibly moves on, and we don't understand how it's robbing us of the opportunity. If we waste that time, then it's robbing us of the opportunity to perfect our consciousness. We don't understand how we're aging. It was interesting over the lockdown time that you actually begin to see the aging process. Because for 2 years, you maybe didn't meet certain people. You never came face to face with them. And after 2 years, you see them and you think, oh my God, they've become old, isn't it? Even the kids, you see, like the kids just went like double the height. It's amazing. Time is moving on, it's all imperceptible. And the ignorant living entities are living in blissful obliviousness to the fact that time is going. Here Prabhupada makes the point that Chanakya says in a verse, Ayusha kshana ekopi nalabhya svarna koti bi nacha nirarthakam niti kachaha nistatodhika. Ayusha kshana ekopi. One moment of life, na labhya, you cannot get it. Svarna koti bi, even if you have millions of gold coins. Na chen nirarthakam niti. Therefore, if you spend your time nirartha, uselessly, without actually doing something of value, ka cha hanis tato dhika, what can be a greater loss than this? Once we were walking past, there was graffiti on the wall and it said, just killing time. And someone had come along and sprayed it out and said, no, time is killing you. So time is going, time is moving. But here, Bhagavatam is saying that a devotee overcomes time. A devotee is not affected by that deterioration of the age. A devotee is living in eternity. A devotee is frozen in eternity. And therefore, even when the sun is coming up, the sun is coming down, their time, they're not functioning in that time scale. They go beyond. It's very interesting. What does it mean? Years ago, there was a play, a drama, and it was called Guru Busters. Anyway, so then the guru is in front of this person and he says like, I will give you the mantra, just give me your cash. So then the person goes, no, I don't have any cash, I don't have any money. He says, no, we accept Visa, debit, MasterCard and American Express. Sounds like a book distributor. Contactless. He said, no, I don't have my wallet, And then as he was moving hand, then the guru saw his hand, he said, but you have a Rolex watch, so you can give the Rolex watch. So he says, okay, here you go. So he gives him the Rolex watch, and then the guru starts walking off. He says, but you are going to give me the mantra. Where you got? He says, the guru looks back at him and says, there is no need, for you have become timeless. Well, it's an interesting point. What does it actually mean to become timeless? This is what the Bhagavatam is saying. That a devotee actually becomes timeless, beyond the time of the world. What does that actually mean? If we look at time, we can say there are different types of time. One type of time is clock time. See that clock? The hands are moving. It's 9 o'clock. The class has to finish. There's a sign here. 8 o'clock, the clock, the shop has to close. Actually, nowadays, the shops never close, right? It used to be like that, right? At a certain time, you have to check into work. This is clock time. The times by which the world functions, clock time, world time. Another type of time is biological time. Have you noticed? Your body works according to a certain clock. My body clock. I can't wake up for Mangala Arati Prabhu. It doesn't fit with my body clock. Really? But everyone's body clock is different, isn't it? Everyone, some people need to sleep at this time. Some people need to eat at this time. In Bengal, they need to eat rice at 8 o'clock at night and this much. Right? Everyone has different body clock. It's interesting. You evacuate at different times. You maintain the body, different amounts of sleep. So we have a body clock, biological time, isn't it? Then there is psychological time. Understand? Psychological time. According to your mental state, time moves at a certain pace, isn't it? So when you're having fun, time flies. And when something is not there, time, very difficult, isn't it? When we're suffering some difficulty, then time is, you know, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand Ki Jai. So there is clock time, biological time, psychological time, but beyond all of this, there is timelessness. See, if you look at the first type of time, clock time, the whole world is moving according to the clock time. They say at this time you should do this, by this age, by 18 you should have achieved this, your first girlfriend. By 22 you should have identified who you're going to get married to. By 25 you should actually be married. By 26 you should be earning £40,000 a year. By 28 you should have your first house. By 35, you should have a second house that you then let. By, like this. And then the world tells you, you're a failure. You're 32 and you're not married? You're a failure. So everyone in this world is moving according to clock time. At a certain time they move, at a certain time they stop. Everyone in this world is moving according to their own bodily clock, as we mentioned. Yeah. Everyone is moving according to psychological time. Because they're so affected by the mind, when the mind is happy, time flies. When the mind is unhappy, time is so slow. Isn't it? One day they went to one hotel. and someone was living on the 80th floor, so they complained to the general manager saying, the lift is too slow. Speed it up. It takes ages to get up there. So he said, don't worry, I'll call in the engineer. The next day, he didn't call in an engineer. He called in a DIY man. And he told the DIY man, put a mirror in there. After 1 week, the person came back and he said, that engineer was amazing. That lift is flying. No. When there's a mirror, it's amazing how time flies, isn't it? So when certain things are not there, then it's very difficult for us, isn't it? If the Wi-Fi connection goes, oh my God, it's like everyone gets like an existential crisis, isn't it? Now the Wi-Fi is gone, one moment feels like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes. I feel all vacant in your absence. Isn't it? It's like the mind, time. One moment, like 12 years or more. So, but why is the Vaishnav so special? The Vaishnav is so special because they go beyond all of these times. The Vaishnavas don't actually function according to the clock time. Even Bhagavad Gita says, Yanisha sarvabhutanam dasyam jagrati samyami. What does Bhagavad Gita say? What is night for the conditioned souls is the time of awakening for the introspective sage. Everyone in the world, according to clock time, is going to sleep at a certain time and the devotees are waking up. They function on a different time scale. The Vaishnav is not going according to the general clock time of the world. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur, at the age of 16, when he decided, I'm going to give it all up and I'm just going to run to Vrindavan. Everyone was like, are you mad? You don't do that at 16 years old. That's not how clock time works in the world. Maybe at 80 you can do that. But a devotee does not function according to this. So Narottam said, no, I'm going now. I don't work by the clock time of this world. Therefore, it's very difficult for people to understand the mind of a devotee. They don't function according to the conventions of the world. If a young person decides to give their life to Krishna, there's so much opposition. No. One person wanted to join here, so the father came in. You know, history repeats itself. So he was complaining. He said, look, I don't have any problem. He can join. He can become a devotee of Krishna. But let him work. Let him earn money. Let him get married. Let him have children. And once his children are his age, then he can go. So the devotee looked and said, okay, we'll leave him. We'll take you instead. And he said, no, better you take him. No. Because people have a certain conception of how to, but devotees don't run according to that time. They transcend clock time. You see, devotees transcend biological time as well. Devotees don't function according to the biological clock when they become transcendental. What does Srinivas Acharya say of the Goswamis? Nidra hara viharaka divijito chatyanta dino chayo. They were so absorbed in Krishna. Nidra, sleep. Ahar, eating. They forgot. Have you ever forgot to sleep? Have you ever forgot to eat? No, the body is demanding. No, devotee transcends. They don't have that need for all of these things anymore. They go beyond the time of this body. Prabhupada would wake up very, very early in the morning. Once Prabhupada was translating early in the morning and he rang his bell, Gurudas Prabhu came running in. He just opened his eyes, came running in. He said, Prabhupada, what's the problem? Prabhupada said, I'm translating. Why are you sleeping? He said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada said, I am not sleeping. He said, but Prabhupada, it was a busy day. Prabhupada said, I also had a busy day. Gurudev said, no, no, Prabhupada, you're a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, why are you not a pure devotee? So he was getting defeated. He said, Prabhupada, what should I do? Prabhupada said, go back to sleep. Because you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready to transcend sleep. But devotee transcends sleep. Prabhupada said, when I go to sleep, I think now I'm just wasting time. Who thinks like that when they go to sleep? Oh man, I have to go to sleep. It's amazing. A devotee transcends clock time, transcends biological time. A devotee transcends psychological time. See, so time doesn't go fast or slow. Of course, transcendentally it does. But on the material platform, there's no sense of distress or happiness, and so they transcend all of that. Devotee goes beyond. Narottam, he was going beyond this world. Once in his mystic trance, a divine gopi came to him and said, now you are ready to enter into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. And we are making all kinds of arrangements for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And there is one gopi and her name is Champaklata. And you now, you have to assist her. Your job is to prepare the milk for the divine couple. And so he woke up and he went, well, who is this? Who was this? What is this? He went to Lokanath Goswami. And he said to Lokanath, I had this dream. Lokanath Goswami said, Srimati Radhika, she came to you. I said, wow. He said, yes, she has revealed to you what your service is in the spiritual world. So now you have to train. So then, Manasa Seva, mystic trance, Leela Smaranam, went into divine meditation. And he was preparing the milk. At that time, there's no gas stove, so they were burning the dry wood. But you see, with wood, it's difficult. You don't have a knob to, you know, adjust the intensity. So sometimes the milk was overflowing when it was boiling. This is all in his mystic trance. And when the milk would boil and overflow, then with his hands he would catch the pot, but there was boiling milk. He would burn. And then when he would wake up out of the mystic trance, then those burns were carried through from the mystic realm, from the mystic meditation, from the Manasa Seva into the physical world, and he would appear in this world with burns on his hand. He would have to hide it from others. Why is your hand burned? Because they're transcending psychological time. They're living in another time sphere. So here the Bhagavatam is saying that when we become absorbed, then we don't actually live according to the time of this world. We become actually frozen in eternity. We live in Krishna's world. This is all very, very high, isn't it? We think like, my God, I've got to go in 5 minutes. Very much still part of this world. I don't know, maybe here I should sit and bring it down and make it more practical. But sometimes we have to sit here and talk about very, very transcendental things because this is actually the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to become timeless. You actually retire from the material rat race. When you go beyond the world time, the biological body time, the mental time, and you're fully in understanding of your spiritual identity like the great saints, like Narottam Das Thakur, then you begin to live in eternity. We want to live in Krishna's world. Now we're going to begin a marathon for the Chaitanya Charitamrita to give this out. And we know that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he was the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had arrived in Vrindavan. Why? Because he had got a dream. And in his dream, Nityananda had come to him. And Nityananda told him, Are are Krishna Das Nakaraha Bhai Vrindavana Yahataha Sarvalabhyahai. O Krishna Das, Nakaraha Bhai, don't worry about anything now. When you wake up tomorrow, Vrindavana Yahataha, just go to Vrindavan, Sarvalabhyahai, and there you will get everything. So Nityananda told him, forget all the time, forget all the duties, forget all the things you have, just go to Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, everyone realized you were such a saintly person. A saintly person is known as self-effulgent. They don't need a title, they don't need a position, they don't need an institutional mark. Everyone can just see this person is a sadhu. So everyone recognized Kaviraj Goswami as a sadhu, person who has no envy. If you ever meet someone in this world who has no envy, you can understand this is a saintly person. You see, they say to feel compassion in somebody else's distress requires advancement. But to feel genuinely happy when someone else is successful requires even more advancement. No envy. So he was just so happy. He's always encouraging, always empowering, always uplifting. And the Vaishnavas recognized him, and they had such a wonderful relationship with the pujaris of Radha Govinda. And so they had a beautiful interaction. And one day he thought, what gift can I give to the pujaris of Govindaji? And you know what he decided to give them as a gift? He said, I'll write a book. And I'll call that book Govinda Lilamrita, the beautiful nectarian, eternal, transcendent, divine activities of Govindaji. And so in his mystic trance, he visualized everything that Radha and Govinda do in the spiritual world at the eight times of the day. And he wrote down a book called Govinda Lilamrit. And he said, this is my gift to you, so that when you are doing your puja of Radha and Govinda, you can meditate on what they're doing at every single time in the day. And when they read it, that's when he received the title Kaviraj, the king of poets, because they said, your poetry has the power to transform stones into liquid nectar. So Kaviraj Goswami was gifting them this because they were living in eternity, they were living in Krishna's world. So the challenge for us is, how do we live in this world, how do we function in this world, but at the same time be completely transcendental? In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is saying, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikalashvapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. That if you somehow can develop a life where karmana, your activities, manasa, your mind, gira, your words, every aspect of your faculties, of your entire being, harer dasye, are engaged in the service of Hari, then jivan mukta, you're living in this world, but actually you're living in another world. We don't want to live in this world. We want to live with Krishna. We want to live in the eternal realm beyond all of the time limitations of this world. This is real life. Nowadays in the world, there is the headlines is the cost of living, isn't it? Cost of living. For me, it's an entire jumbling up of terms. This is not the cost of living. What they're talking about in the world today is the cost of existing. Yes, my bills are going up. I need to pay it. Then I can live. No, no. You don't live by paying your bills. You exist by paying your bills. No, no, but I got to send my kids to university so that they can have a good life. No, no. Just because you have money to send your children to an academic institution and they get a good job, that doesn't mean they're living. That's existence. The cost of living is that you have to connect. You have to awaken relationship with Krishna. The cost of living is much higher than money. The cost of living is much higher than paying your bills. The cost of living is much more than creating an economic arrangement so that everyone can have a good job and a comfortable standard of day-to-day functioning. The cost of living is that you have to pay the price of humility. And that means you have to give up your pride. The cost of living is that you have to surrender to a Vaishnav. And that means you have to give up your independence. The cost of living is that you have to be disciplined. And that means you have to pay the price of giving up your laziness. This is the cost of living. And the saints, what they're showing us through their life is that when you have these qualities, then you really live. Because otherwise people are living in this world, but they're actually dead. If you look at the Bhagavatam, this terminology comes up again and again, the living dead. The living dead. It comes up like many, many times. For example, in the third canto, Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, Nehayat karma dharmaya naviragaya kalpate natirtapada sevaya jivana pimrito hisaha. Kapila Dev, he says to Devahuti, Nehayat karma dharmaya. If all of your karma, all of your activities, they don't lead to dharma, it's a failure. But then what does he say? Naviragaya kalpate. And if all of your dharma doesn't lead to vairagya, it's a failure. Natirta pada sevayai. And if all of your vairagya doesn't lead to tirta pada seva, serving Krishna's lotus feet, then it's a failure. Jivan api mrito hi saha. Therefore, even though you're living, jivan api mrito hi saha, you're basically a dead man. You can do all the karma, you can do all the dharma, you can do all the vairagya, and you're basically still like the living dead. Because you haven't actually entered into what real life is. Real life means relationship with Krishna, love for Krishna. And the Bhagavatam also uses the reverse terminology that for the devotee, there is no death. They are always living. Therefore, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when Vaishnavas are still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living they spread the holy name around. The Vaishnava never dies. The Vaishnava is always living, even when it seems as though they've died. Whereas the materialistic being, even though it looks as though they're living, they're actually dead. So next time someone tells you about the cost of living crisis, you can tell them it's a cost of existing crisis, and it's a cost of living maha crisis that you don't know about. That one will tell you later. Because the cost of living is not money. The cost of living is to develop a quality of consciousness that catapults you to another level of reality. And that is what the Bhagavatam is offering us. And that is why we glorify the lives of the saints. In one sense, the saints, they live a life. It seems so far away for us. Here we are in the world, stuck in the world, stuck with so many responsibilities. And then we hear of these saints and we think, my God, that's so far away. Maybe it is. But that is the aspiration. That is the aspiration of a Vaishnav, because we don't want to be normal. Because those who are now considered normal accept the values and principles of an insane world. So we don't want to be normal. We don't want to fit in. If you're normal and you're fitting in, it's a problem. If you're normal and if people look at you and say, you're normal, materialistic person looks at you and thinks you're normal, that's bad news. They should look at you and think, you're strange. What are you doing? Like, and you think, yeah, I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be part of this system anymore. How many lifetimes in this system, going on and on, meeting the goals of the world, doing the things that everyone tells you to do, and then all in the process, ayur harati vepum sham, the sun has taken away your life. And then you have to come back to do it all over again. Somehow or other, we have to become absorbed. Somehow or other, we have to be able to stay with the name of Krishna. Somehow or other, we have to stay in the katha of Krishna. Somehow or other, we have to make sure that we don't fall prey. How is it that we can be with the beads and then fall asleep? That's a tragedy. How is it that we can be with the books and then be disturbed by our phone when all the notifications go off? That is a tragedy. How is it that we can be in front of the deities and just keep thinking about our own self-absorbed problems? That's a tragedy. How is it that we can go to the dham and then just be socializing? That's a tragedy. The saints have brought the entire wealth of the spiritual world. Golokera Prema Dhan, Harinam Sankirtan. They brought the whole wealth of the spiritual world down to the material world. And then we're neglecting it because we can't be absorbed. That is the greatest loss. That is the greatest tragedy. So the saints come and they have an extreme level of absorption. Extreme level of absorption. And we think, I'm not there. But then we have to think, I have to turn up the heat. I have to turn up the focus. Because in the Krishna consciousness movement, we can forget that absorption is actually what we're looking for. One devotee once said to me something which kind of shattered my perspective of life. He said, you may be absorbed in service, but do you know that it's also a service to be absorbed? At that moment, I realized you could be running around doing so many things, and even if you do it for Krishna, but where is your absorption? Because at the end of the day, that's what will count. At the end of the day, all our physical abilities will go. All of our positions and titles will become void. We'll basically grind to a halt. And then at that point, the only thing that's going to count is how much absorption you have for Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha. How much you're able to stay with transcendental sound. How much the mind can stay with thoughts of Krishna. That's what's going to count at the end. And therefore the Bhagavatam is saying, Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Always spend time for that. Because that is the goal of life. Because dharma svanustita pumsham vishvakshena kathashuya not padayed yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. You do everything perfectly in your life, all the dharma, all the karma, all the mantra, tantra, vishara, da, you can do so many things. But if you don't develop the rati for hearing, chanting, glorifying, being connected and feeling the presence of Krishna, shrama eva hi keva, is a useless waste of time. So here we are today, meditating on the life and times of Narottam Das Thakur. The saints provide us an amazing example of perfection in Krishna consciousness, and therefore we spend some moments to think about them and ask ourselves the hard question: how in my life will I become more absorbed? That's going to define success. Okay, I could say more, but maybe I'll stop here and take some comments and questions sometime, because I've spoken something very... So now you can bring me down to earth and tell me whether it's practical or not, or whether you have any reflections, questions, comments, or anything anyone would like to ask.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for, and as always, outstanding class. I have a question, Maharaj, that, you know, we heard from you that how these saints, especially Narottam Das Thakur, the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, they have actually, you can see from their life and example that they have transcended the time, and they're so fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then we have our, at least like my level, where I'm kind of nowhere there. So how do we strike the balance to take that journey with an aspiration to be absorbed one day in a practical way, as we go around our daily lives? how can we implement or do certain things which can slowly lead to our deeper absorption in future, Maharaj, while we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness here?
The first thing is you have to make time. If you don't make time, if there's not a time in the day, if there's not a time in the week, if there's not a time in the year for concentrated endeavor to be absorbed, then it's not going to happen. The first sermon is saying, I don't have time. Some things are so important in life, it's not about having time, it's about making time. So the first mistake and the first pitfall in why we don't become absorbed is we don't make time. I used to go to Vrindavan, hopefully I'll start going again, but I used to go every January for 1 month. And it was almost like, when I started doing that first, it was almost like an existential crisis. Because you end up in Vrindavan, and in your mind you're thinking, that's it, now nothing, no management, no problems, no devotees. I'm just going to be absorbed in Krishna. And then after 2 days, you're kind of like having an existential crisis. Like, oh my God, I'm so restless. I need to do something. I need to be somewhere. I need to go to something. I need to manage something. Give me something to manage. And in that moment, you say to yourself, but I've made a month. I've made a month. I've set aside 1 month for absorption. So now I have to sit down and I have to try to go deeper. And you have to force yourself and just be there. See, like when you do writing, for example, sometimes there's a point when you start writing where you just think, you look at what you've written and you think, I'm so superficial. I have nothing to say. He said in the class, journal. I got really inspired. And then I started journaling and I had nothing to say. I had absolutely nothing to say. It was just a log of events, nothing deep. But when you're writing, everyone will come to that point. And then what do you have to do? You have to close your eyes. You have to think a bit deeper and you have to dig. Because there are realizations. There is love. There is substance. But it's piled under layers of material, anartha. So when you're writing, you just have to keep going. When we're writing, we say it's PIP. Perspiration, inspiration, perspiration. Most of the time, it's just hard work. But then there's a point when the inspiration comes because you're digging, because you're trying, because you're endeavoring. So one of the main reasons we don't become absorbed is we don't make a time for it. So you have to make a time for it. And then the other way you become absorbed is in that time, be with devotees who have absorption. You see, it's a virus. Krishna consciousness is a virus. When you're around people who have that taste, isn't it? Prabhupada said, when you hear from the mouth of someone, a sadhu who has a great saintly person, and they may be anywhere, in any ashram, in any position, in any kind of body, you don't know. Someone who has taste, and you hear from them, you think, wow, I want to experience that, inspires you. It's a good association, making time. These are all things that help us in absorption. We spend time in dham, because the dham is like an overflowing. It's said that there are two places where bhava or emotion is overflowing. One is in the Vaishnav and the other one is in the dham. So just by coming in their vicinity, even we don't have taste, but we get a few drops of the overflow and that inspires us to move. So like this, we have to make time. Because time is going. Some thoughts.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I wonder, so where do you start with when you're trying to overcome time on a practical level? And do you think there's a difference? Or, you know, sometimes we think that living in the temple is superior to living in a household because you have more responsibilities and you have more time to be absorbed. But my own experience is that you're just as busy when you're at the temple. So it's a challenge for both of us. So how can we dispel this kind of notion that you have to you know, go away in order to have the time to be absorbed? How do you be absorbed even when you're busy?
Yeah, you don't transcend time by trying to transcend time. You transcend time by becoming absorbed. And by becoming absorbed, you naturally transcend, you see. So the point is you need absorption. So you're saying, how do you stay in the world? How do you stay in the activities and be absorbed? Well, absorption is an internal consciousness. But what we do is we take some time away to develop that consciousness so that when we come into the situation, we can factor that consciousness in. Why do we do sadhana in the morning? Aside from the fact that it's the Brahma Muhurta and it's time, it's a good time to be connected. Aside from that, the idea is that if you begin with that kind of consciousness, if you begin the day with that kind of connection, then in the rest of your day, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, you bring that consciousness in and you remain absorbed. Right? We all know what it feels like when you haven't chanted any rounds in the morning and you're just living. And it's like, you know. So the point is that the grass is always greener on the other side. So you know, the temple devotees are thinking, you know, I wouldn't be out there, you know. Everyone has challenges. Everyone has difficulty. We always think someone else's life is easier, like someone else's problems are not as bad as my problems. No, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. So take your situation. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasite strilokyam. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda so many things. What's the goal of life? He gave so many answers and Mahaprabhu said, "Na eho bhaiya age kaha aar. Say something more, say something more. I know you have more to say." And then finally he said, "Stane stita." Just, Ramananda said, wherever you are, whoever you are, just stay where you are. Shruti gatam, and engage your hearing in the name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. Just be absorbed. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you have a busy life, hear a lecture. Always bring transcendental sound into the equation. Hear a lecture, hear devotees, you know, chant, you know, factor in remembrance of Krishna. When you're at work, talk to people about Krishna. There's so many ways to be Krishna conscious. People out there in the material world are thinking about their material desires 24/7. Have you noticed? They're thinking about it all the time. Everything they see, it's just like, you know, like you have those cartoons where everyone has their eyes and there's dollar signs, you know, everywhere. Everything is just money. They're absorbed. Completely absorbed. You're absorbed. Parents brought up their children. How could you bring up your children if you were not absorbed in them? Of course, you were absorbed. So it's not absorption. The natural function of the living entity is to look for absorption. But the problem is, we're absorbed in the wrong thing. Bhayam dviti, bhayam dviti ya bhinivesha shyadi shada pesasyo viparyayo shmiti. Tanmaya yato buddha abhajetam bhaktyaikayesham guru devatatma. Because we're absorbed in a dvitiya, in the second reality. Bhagavatam says, because you're absorbed in the second reality, the wrong reality, then maya yato, then you are overcome by maya. And then you become blind to the real goal of life. So you have to always turn to Krishna wherever you are. And when you find that absorption, you go beyond time.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for such an amazing class. I was just, when you mentioned about laziness, something just really struck in my heart. I thought, yes, he's talking to me. And
join the club.
But I was just thinking, how do you understand that there are times when you've had a very busy day, a very stressful day, and when you just say to yourself, look, I just need a little moment to step back and then get back into whatever I need to do. How do you understand that's genuine versus where the mind is just saying, look, you know, you're working so hard, it's okay, you know, just relax or sleep in another 5 minutes or half an hour or something. Like, how do you know when the mind is being genuine about when it needs to take a moment?
There are certain physical needs, of course. As we said, we're not transcendental. You need to sleep. Prabhupada said, if you sleep too less, you become... if you sleep too much, you become lazy. If you sleep too less, you become crazy. Right? So, you need, Krishna says, yata nyatasta yogosti, that, you know, a yogi is not one who, you know, doesn't eat too much or too little. So, there's a certain physical. So, we have to be balanced. Yukta hara vihara sya. Everything should be yukta, balanced. But then, when you need time, downtime, do it in a spiritual way. Mahā Krishna Maharaj used to say, a devotee's leisure is to just go away in the park and just hear a kirtan or hear a lecture, watch Prabhupada memories. So many ways, right? You can just downtime. The other day I was so tired, I was like, I got time, I can't. My mind is just too, like, so then I just kind of, I was like LSD, left side down. And I was like this. And I was just in front of my computer and just watched Prabhupada memories for like 2 hours. It was great, you know. And so many realizations came. Like, left side down. It's good. So it's nice. There's so many ways to be absorbed. So just find your way, you know. Find your way. See, we have to be intense. Divrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Yeah, because we have sarva karma. We have every desire under the sun. Name, fame, everything, we want it. Na dhanam, na janam. We're like, more dhanam, more janam, more sundarim, more. No more. No, we want it. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, divrena, you have to be intense. But this is what I tell people, intensity. Find an intensity that suits your personality so that you can maintain a consistency which will awaken your purity. You have to be intense. But find an intensity that suits your personality that allows you to maintain a consistency that will awaken your purity. We'll take the last one and then.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I think one point which you mentioned was, like, it's really stuck to me. You mentioned, like, how you know, the first time or in the first yatras when you went to the dham, and because once you go to the dham, the first 2 or 3 days is quite amazing. Like, everything's, like, so new. It's a new way of life, but then it's like, okay, I need to do something now, you know, give me something. So what was the steps you took to kind of like get used to this life of actually doing something, absorbing, like going to the Shastra? Because I feel personally in life, because we have always need to do something because we can't stay still. And that's why, I mean, it's a very big challenge. And I don't see only mine, but I've seen a lot of people. When they come to spiritual life, the eagerness to do something and get occupied or like be busy, keep the mind busy, is actually a very big challenge. So what were the steps you took to kind of getting absorbed and
you know, let the, you know, let's sink into the dharma and get the real benefit out of the place.
The first principle in the dharma is don't waste time. So you have to utilize all your time. Avyartha kalatvam, no time, don't waste time. So if you can't read all day, then find different activities you can do. So in the beginning I used to just like, my schedule was the same every day. Like wake up at 3, chant before Mangalarati, go to Mangalarati and then chant again till 7. So then now you've got a lot of rounds done by 7. And then I used to go back and learn verses and do yoga. And I go back for Bhagavatam class, 9:30 I go for Parikrama around Vrindavan, back by 11:30, 12, and then do some laundry, whatever. Then by that time it's lunchtime. After lunchtime, well, give yourself a nap for half an hour. It's okay. Half an hour and then read. Read till 6, then go for the 24-hour kirtan, 7:30, you come back, do a few things, boom, same again. Again. So that worked for me, but everyone will have their own different ways of doing it. So you find, remember, this not stereotyped, it's according to your personality. So for different ways, they will absorb themselves in different persons in different ways. So just try to find and build it up. It comes with time. You have to go through a period when you're trying to become absorbed, when you feel like I'm not getting anything out of this. You have to go through that. Like to develop a relationship with the Bhagavatam is just that, it's a relationship. Yeah. It's not like love at first sight. Maybe there's some immediate, and then later on you find, oh, it's not like, you know. It's kind of like, I guess marriage is like that. Normally in the world it's like love at first sight, divorce at first fight. But if you're a bit more cultured, it's like, okay, there's some chemistry, but then what makes the relationship is commitment. You see, people come together by chemistry, but what makes a relationship is commitment. So even with the Bhagavatam, when you come to it, there may be some immediate, like, wow, this is knowledge, it's amazing. And then after some months or years, you're like, okay, it's the Bhagavatam, I don't know. But no, you keep committed. Spend time with the Bhagavatam. Why? Imagine one day, if we could say what Sanatan Goswami says, Madeka bandhu mad sangin mad guru man mahadhana man nishtaraka mad bhagya mad ananda namostute. Imagine we could wake up in the morning and we could say, Madeka bandhu, the Bhagavatam is my best friend. Mad sangin, the Bhagavatam is my constant companion. Mad guru is my spiritual master. Mad ananda is the source of my happiness. Man nishtaraka is always lifting me up. Mad bhagya is the most fortunate thing that happened to me in my life. Imagine we could say that. But we have to spend time. So I don't think you read the Bhagavatam until you read it for the third time. Sorry to just drop that bombshell in the midst of this nice Sunday morning gathering. You have to give time. You have to give time. Anyway, otherwise what are you going to spend your time with? This is life. Two last things I wanted to say. When Narottam Das Thakur was very young, actually Mahaprabhu, he had gone to meet Rupa and Sanatan in Ramakeli. And as he was coming back, he was meant to go to Vrindavan, but he didn't. As he was coming back to Puri, he looked over to the Padmavati, and he said, Narottam, Narottam. And everyone was thinking, Narottam? Who's Narottam? There's no Narottam. Mahaprabhu said, no, Narottam. Then they understood in the future, Narottam would come. Narottam. Narottam means, Nara means person, man. Tam means the top man. There's a shop, isn't it? Top man. This real top man is Narottam. So Narottam. So they understood in the future, a great devotee would come. And what Mahaprabhu did at that time was he bathed in the Padma. So you can go to Bangladesh today. We went many years ago to Bangladesh, and you can go to the Padma, and it said that Mahaprabhu deposited liquid prema. Imagine that, liquid prema in the Padma. And he said in the future, a great devotee will come here. And when he bathes, then he will become inundated. So today, if you go to Kethuri Gram, it's a very, very beautiful place. And you can see the Padma, and there's a place called Prema Tali. And Prema Tali means the place where Narottam bathed, where he jumped. Nityananda had come to him in a dream and said, you've got to go to this place. So he went the next day. And as he jumped into the Padma, then immediately he was darkish. And as soon as he jumped in, the rivers began overflowing and he became golden and he became mad with prema. So it said that Mahaprabhu had deposited. So we went to that place actually. So we all got on the boat and we went in the middle. So then, you know, like, decide, okay, that's it, we're going to jump in. Listen, maybe one of us will get it, you know. One of us will get the prema. So we all jumped in. And yeah, some of us nearly drowned. We weren't drowning in prema, unfortunately. We just couldn't swim properly. But what we did do is we brought back some of the padma. So maybe it will happen to you. Actually, it will happen to everyone, because once you're blessed, you're blessed. It's just a matter of time. So, but there's very little in here, so I don't know how to do it. Maybe if you come, we'll just put one drop. Whoever comes gets it. So, Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Is it coming up? Okay. Let me just. How to do it?
Just throw it? Okay, everywhere. Arriba!
Backside as well.
Yeah, back here as well. Arriba!
This way. Sorry, I'm not good at throwing. There's a little bit in there, so whoever didn't, if you really didn't get any, then Divya Nam will give you. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Oh yes, sorry, there's one last announcement. Narottam Das Thakur was the original book distributor, isn't it? Mahaprabhu demonstrated pure love of God. The Goswamis documented pure love of God. And then the three Acharyas, Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda, distributed love of God. So we're all trying to distribute love of God. And love of Godhead is stored in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, isn't it? The Prabhupada said Chaitanya Charitamrita is the real Bengali sweet. So we want to do a Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon in preparation for Gaur Purnima. So we're going to try and distribute 201 sets. So please, please get involved. We have them in English, in Gujarati, Bengali. Everything is there. So please get involved. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.